bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks.
How did you spend your day from the time you woke up until the moment I called you?
That is Blake Fly, this week's guest on the Trent Speaks podcast. Welcome in, everyone. Great to, well, I was going to say great to see you again, but I don't see you. You hear me. So thanks again for listening yet another week on the podcast. Whether you've been with us since the beginning, I don't know who us is. Us is really me. Whether you've been with me since the beginning from back in February, or maybe you've just picked it up along the way, I thank you each and every week for listening to the podcast. This is the week that I've been excited for because of the relationship that I have with this week's guest and in the way that we met and everything. I've only known this week's guest since the beginning of the year, so in January, and we actually met at a conference. And it just happened by fluke chance, and we've stayed in touch, and so I'm excited to share the story of Blake Fly with you here in a few moments. Last week, I had three interviews that I did for the podcast, and it's without fail that technology is amazing until something goes wrong, and it's something I've known before, but in today's world, we rely so much on technology that when it goes wrong, you just have to troubleshoot and hope for the best, really. Now, thankfully, Blake's podcast wasn't one of the two that had technical difficulties, but you'll hear in the next coming weeks, we had one podcast where all of a sudden, after like 15 minutes of recording, my program decided to stop recording and say that the audio had been removed, but I didn't touch any buttons. And then the other one, my guest's call had dropped. So you'll get to hear those live in the podcast in the next couple of weeks here. But one thing that I've been doing more is reaching out to people and saying, hey, do you want to be on the podcast? Because after weeks, before last week, after weeks of me rambling through different topics and through different things, I finally have about the next, if you include last week, almost 2 months full of guests for you to enjoy and for you to hear their stories and what it is that they have to share. And really, in the first place, that's the purpose of the podcast, is sharing the stories of others. What's shaped them? What have they learned? How have they gotten to where they are today? What adversity have they faced? What have they overcome? What is it they're proud of? And you can always share your story, and I'm not going to give a plug for that right now, but I think it's important for there to be an outlet for people to share their stories, because it, as you've heard me say many times on the podcast, I believe everyone has one. And the thing that bothers me sometimes is, how do you get someone who has found success in what they do, or is a little more prominent, how do you get them to talk to you? How do you get those people who are where you want to be? So maybe you want to be a professional singer one day, or you're like me and you want to expand your speaking career. Or maybe you want to move up and be a musician or a basketball player. I can't think of any other examples on the spot right now. But my point is, what I think that we're lacking in today's world, and I've talked about this on the United We Stand podcast a little bit back in early September, is the ability to help other people. And what I mean by that is we've all had to start somewhere. We've all been at the beginning of something. So why can't people who have been through that experience, who know what it's like, who know the struggles of starting out and trying to get ready for the next steps or for what it is that you want to accomplish or you want to achieve, why can they not always just help us out? They know how hard it is to get started, to get through it. And I'm very thankful that I met someone in January who broke down this stigma for me, because immediately in having conversation with Blake when we first met, we maybe talked for about 10 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer. And by the end of it, I had Blake's contact information, and that's how we've stayed in touch. And he's become, as you'll hear me tell him in the podcast this week, a great mentor to me. So without further ado, here is Blake Fly.
Game on.
Blake, so I guess the first question I'll start with, because if people don't know, you are a traveling speaker, as I like to refer to you. How did you get your start?
I got my start mainly because when I was a student in high school and university, I used to love when speakers would come to my school and give speeches. I just thought to myself, like, who are these people? This is awesome. I'm either laughing or thinking or crying or something. Like, I just felt moved and inspired and wanted to, like, do something on my campus every time that I saw one of these speakers. So I got my start by going up to them afterwards and just saying thanks for how they impacted me in that moment, and then started to ask them later on, how did you get into this? So I'd ask the question you're asking me to them, because I thought, well, if this is a thing that I could do, maybe I'll learn more, because I always enjoyed giving presentations in school. I always enjoyed drama, and I liked to play music and bands, and I thought, this is a neat combination of all those worlds sort of put into one vehicle, if you will. So I got my start by being a student who loved seeing speeches from speakers and then asked them how I could do the same, and just over time paid close attention to what I was inspired to actually share, so that I wasn't just up there talking for the sake of talking, but that I had something to share. And what I began delivering as my message was helping students transition out of high school and into university life, because I spent a lot of years working in residence life in a university, both as a student and as a professional. And so I started there.
I guess at what point did you know you want to be a speaker? I'm sure you haven't always wanted to be a speaker in your lifetime. Was there something else that you were aspiring to be? And then just one day when you saw people start speaking more and more, that's when you realized this could be a career for you?
Yeah, I mean, I always was drawn to teaching, so I thought maybe I would become a teacher. Though, I guess I couldn't fully picture myself teaching, because I didn't really know what subject I wanted to teach, and I also didn't know how effective I would be at, like, keeping up with my marking and getting things back to students on time, because admin and paperwork, I can do it, but I'm not the strongest at it. So where I really felt like, hey, I want to do this speaking thing, was when people kept commenting to me when I was a student and when I was a residence manager on university campuses. They would comment to me that they loved the way in which I made my presentations. They noticed that I would spend a lot of extra time making presentations, engaging and unique and kind of funny and just different. Whereas some people would not enjoy giving presentations or would shy away from doing them or would literally kind of trade me, like, hey, Blake, if I do your paperwork, will you do one of my presentations? I'm like, deal. So just starting to pay attention to what I considered fun, enjoyable, meaningful, and energizing, which was giving presentations and taking boring topics and making them fun. And I paid attention to things that were the opposite, that I found draining, or that others just did far better and much more easily than me. And I just said, hey, let's do more of these things that I enjoy and am good at and are impactful on others, instead of trying to shy away from what I knew I really loved to do, which was speak and present and take basic topics like communication and how to run a meeting and how to talk to students on campus and make them really engaging, different, unique, and fun.
Blake, you mentioned how you talk about the transition from high school to college. I guess, who are you usually talking to? Are you usually talking to college students? Are you talking to high school students? Is there more than one message that you typically like to deliver to your audience?
At this point, there's a variety of audiences, but the topics are often rooted in the same goal. So whether I'm talking to university students or high school students or kids or even people in big companies, the focus is always around how to build community, how to build relationships using appreciation and recognition. So even when I began talking to students in college about how to transition to college or university, the theme of those talks was like, when you get to campus, here are some innovative approaches to forming friendships, to creating relationships, to building culture, to building community, so you're not doing this thing by yourself. And so whoever I'm in front of, I'm often talking about how to help people appreciate others, how to build community, and how to recognize one another. And even this morning, I just got back from a school where I was speaking to grade 5 and 6 students about how to be appreciative and build positive communities in their lives online. So instead of being a young person hopping on social media in the early days and harming other people and themselves, how can they go about it in a way that they're helping other people and themselves? So whether it's a speech or even just in like hobbies of mine, I try and do things that energize me and help other people apply practical versions of appreciation into their lives and their relationships and their communities.
And Blake, I would imagine that you've probably had people then that have come up to you after presentations, probably not necessarily always that young of an audience, but probably in your older audiences, like when you're talking to high schools and colleges, have people come up to you and told you that their message or that your message has had an impact on them and kind of got them thinking a little bit and everything?
Yeah, it's pretty moving when people, after I give a speech, come up to me and say that they were impacted by the presentation. And I used to say like, wow, thanks so much, and leave it there. And now I say, wow, thanks so much. And if you don't mind me asking, what part of the presentation struck you and why? Because for me, I never know what part of the talk resonates with people and for what reason. So I really enjoyed sort of digging into those comments from people, because it also lets me know what I should perhaps emphasize more. And it also is a great way to learn more about those people who are talking to me, because I always want to have conversations that people come up to me that are more than just like, hi, nice to meet you, bye. Hi, nice to meet you, bye. Even this podcast right now, like, this is a result of a student who came up to me saying, that was really awesome. I know someone on my campus who wants to learn more about this industry. And I just said, I could have in that moment been like, cool. Instead, I was like, cool. Where are they? If they want to have a conversation, I'd love to. And here we are. We've like sent text messages and social media messages back and forth, and I really love that. Like, I get a lot from these ongoing conversations.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate you continuing to have these ongoing conversations. You've been a big inspiration to me so far in terms of trying to stay motivated and stay on top of what my dreams and what my goals are. So I just want to say thank you to you because you've been a big help so far, and I know that hopefully will continue to be over the next few years to come for sure.
Yeah. And for you to say that, it means a lot to me because, again, like, sure, I'm making the time to talk to you, and you're also making the time to talk to me, so I don't take that for granted.
And I know that you've done a lot on, so if people want to, they can follow Blake Fly on Instagram. I know that you've done a lot of little videos and everything a little bit more lately. Have you been trying to do some more inspirational stuff on your, kind of some more motivating stuff on your social media then lately too?
Oh, you're noticing.
I am noticing.
Well, I'll answer the question. I guess before I answer, I'm curious because for yourself as someone who like just sees something hop up on Instagram, like, can you expand a bit more on like what are you noticing? Because then I have an answer, but I wonder if what you're noticing aligns with like the intention of sort of a recent shift. So what are you noticing, Trent? And tell me more on that.
What I've been noticing is more like, mindfulness stuff and doing like more self-reflection. So, you're really good about asking the question of like, what are you doing? So talking like at me as a listener or as a person that's following you on social media, I mean, it's really getting me to think and to self-reflect and sometimes take time for myself. Of, oh yeah, like I just need to take a few minutes to kind of breathe and like start my day, or these are some things that I could better be doing to improve relationships in my life. Those are some of the things that I've taken away from it so far. And anytime that I see one of your videos pop up recently, I'm always very intrigued to watch it. And if I don't have time, I'll go back later and watch it. Just because lately I've been really taking a lot away from them, and it's stuff that I've been able to kind of think about a little bit more to utilize in my life.
Wow. Well, that's a major compliment, Trent, because yeah, there has been a shift recently, which is for a long time, I've been going around giving speeches to audiences, like when I met you almost a year ago. And I love that work and I continue to do that work. But the thing is that for that to take place, I need to be invited to go give one of those presentations. So it's kind of like someone has to call me. Whereas social media, it's like a constantly accessible platform to have an impact on others. And for a long time, I would sort of go give a speech and then I'd maybe put something online because I felt like I had something to talk about. Like, hey, I just gave a talk. I'm going to tell you that I just gave a talk because I kind of felt like the rest of the time I was just rehearsing and preparing for the next talk. Whereas recently I've gone and flipped that thinking into, well, I don't really have a massive audience on Instagram. I'm kind of just a regular person on Instagram. But what if I just spoke as though someone is listening? And that in itself is a stage, and that in itself is an audience, because it's true, like, for all of us, for you, for me, everyone, social media is a stage, and social media is an audience. And so I'm transferring some of the things that I do on stage onto now Instagram specifically. I find that it's an enjoyable platform for me. I like that I kind of like the neighborly vibe of Instagram. It's positive, it's light, but it's also like cool and engaging and fast, and you can reach people quickly. To be honest, like, I get a bit self-conscious with making those videos because I'm literally just like, okay, I'm going to talk about this now. And I have no idea what's resonating. And that's why you maybe notice, like, whenever I do these, lately I've been saying, if you make it to the end of this story, send me a direct message. And for me, that's my way of just, A, seeing about engagement, and B, when people send me that, I can then ask that question again of like, oh, cool, thanks for tuning in, and like, what struck you and why? And that, for me, is data, and those are valuable details, and it's a great way to build rapport with people. I mean, not as easy to build rapport on social media if you don't see someone's face that often, but if people keep sending messages, like, rapport gets built, and I really am enjoying that and want to continue to do that and explore and play around and think of topics that might be relevant.
Blake, this is a question I had written down, but I think it ties in well to kind of what we're talking about right now. What is it that motivates you or drives you? Like, what is it that keeps you going?
I would say what motivates me and keeps me going is taking something that is obvious and simple, but can easily get complicated, and then make it obvious and simple again. Such as appreciation. Like appreciation is a very simple concept. Like, hey, let people in your life know that you appreciate them once in a while. But then sometimes people think that's good. I like that idea. I'm going to do it. And then when they are about to do it, they're like, I don't know. This is weird. I'm not sure. What do I say? What do I do? Like, we complicate it. And then I get to create tools or methods or innovative approaches so that more of those kinds of things happen. So, for example, I have a variety of different ways in which I do this. So a friend of mine years ago, we started something called High Five Run. What is a high five run? It's when you run in a big city with a lot of people looking down at their feet and looking down at their phones, not engaging anyone and not smiling. You run and you offer free high fives to everyone you run by. And all that really is, although it appears like a flash mob and like just some like fun, hyped up initiative in a city, all that is getting people to go, whoa, I feel acknowledged. And that was powerful yet simple. Another thing friends of mine did years ago, we would get on subways with instruments and we would play free concerts and we would call them train reactions. And the goal was, again, get people to look up, smile, engage, and change the feeling of their train ride. So that instead of going home being like, oh my God, what a stressful day and I hate transit, maybe by the time they're home, they're like, hey, something happened on the train that has never happened before and it was really cool. So what gets me motivated and keeps me going is, okay, how can we take basic life stuff, often in the form of like relationships and community and just human beings interacting with other human beings, and like, do the hard stuff, the soft stuff, like maybe even having tough conversations, but in unique, innovative ways. So it's A, easier, and B, safer. Like a high five run is just a way to say, why don't we talk to more strangers and make them feel like they matter? But if we actually walk up to a stranger and say, you matter, like that's like kind of hard and weird. But running around the streets, like offering three high fives, that is way lower risk and gets a lot more response and impact.
I think that sounds awesome. I wish I could participate because that sounds like it's actually a lot of fun.
You can start one. Do one on campus. They're a blast.
I could. So people are just essentially running by everyday people, offering them high fives as they run by?
Yeah, so where I live in Toronto, in Canada, and it's a pretty big city with like 7 million people or something. So we literally just run about 2 or 3 miles, and we run down one of the most major streets where there's a lot of people, and as we're running, we pass somebody, there's like three high fives, and they look up, and then they get to decide if they want to high five us or not. And after doing that for like 30 or 45 minutes, thousands of people get high fives.
That's awesome. Blake, so as we get close to the end of our time here, one question I always ask people, what is it that you want people to take away from you? What do you want people to take away from Blake? Whether it's something you've shared today or you haven't shared today, what is it that you would want people to know?
I want people to know the power of combining appreciation with innovation. So instead of like, hey, everybody, you know, say thank you and be nice and tell your parents you love them. That's cool and important. But again, it might not get people to necessarily do it. Whereas if you take innovation and apply it to appreciation, then you can really have some fun with it. So a practical step for right now for listeners is if you were to just get off your phone, think of 10 key people in your life who you could text, and text them the words, hey, I just want to say thanks. Then you send it. Odds are quite high that you're going to get 10 replies sounding something along the lines of, like, and so all you just did was open up a conversation, but you intrigued them. Like, you might reach somebody while they're grocery shopping. You might reach somebody while they're, like, in an exam. You might reach somebody while they're taking a nap. You might reach somebody when they're on the bus. And it's kind of like, ooh, why did you send me this? And then you have the opportunity to tell them one reason that they've impacted you for the better. And maybe it's kind of weird, but it's, although it's kind of weird, it's not as odd or painful as the regret of maybe never telling that person that thing. And similarly, maybe that could be sending a video a day to somebody you know and just reminding them of a story. Like, Trent, I just passed a river in Ontario that's called the Trent River. I saw a sign with the name Trent on it, which is me taking a video in front of the sign that says Trent. Hope you're having a good day. See ya. And I just send it because I think of you. So the biggest takeaway is innovation and appreciation, and also when you think of people, tell them that. Like, it's not hard to do, but it's easy not to do. So when you're thinking of someone, what if you actually told them you're thinking of them in a positive reason why? Now, don't creep people out, but don't let this stuff go unsaid, because often it's a great way to deepen the relationship and maybe even like learn new things about people you love the most.
I think that was perfectly said. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast this week.
You got it. Thanks for the invitation, Trent.
Appreciate people more. Tell them you love them. And it's okay to tell people that you're thinking about them. Like Blake said, though, not in a creepy way necessarily. Hopefully you'll be hearing a lot more from me from here on out. I've created myself a content calendar, as I like to call it. Feel free to share, like, follow, get your friends involved, review my Facebook page, Trent Speaks. You can follow me at Trent Speaks on Instagram. And I'm going to try and start posting more and more content to reach more and more people and have more of an online presence. That on the heels of my conversation with Blake, as well as a strong urging suggestion from my wife to try to become more of an online presence as well, just like Blake is. It's a good strategy, and I like it. Again, I think we heard a lot of great stuff from Blake this week. I hope that you are able to adapt some of it. And catch me on Instagram at Trent Speaks or my Facebook page, Trent Speaks, for some more follow-up on this week's conversation. Thank you, God bless, and we'll catch you next week.